Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Final hour here on the firm of Harrison Meringue. I have managed to not say Danny and Dusty once today, although I've gotten very close about 11 billion times. No Harris today. Hey, there. Golf clap. Ladies and gentlemen, I managed to not do it so far. Harris out today and tomorrow. We are all off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're not coming in to everything's in automation, right?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
Yep. Nobody's here.
I was talking to old Sam Tong. I'm like, hey, is anybody here from sales? And he kind of gave me the magic eight ball. Yeah, seems unclear right now. Don't think anybody's going to be here on Wednesday.
Why would they be?
Yeah, I mean, come on, sales. Come on now.
When even the carrot is trying to make the great decision of giving us national holidays on the 24th and 26th.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
Love to see it. I will not be here next Monday and Tuesday, and hopefully I'll be back on Wednesday, barring any complications from said surgery talked about earlier in the show. But with that here in hour number three, we're going to keep it in the NFL. We'll pivot back to college football. We'll get to Alabama-Oklahoma, which was probably the best game of the weekend. Featured a monster comeback by the Crimson Tide. But speaking of monster games, don't look now. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 11-4 and go to Mile High. As we talked about Cam Little and his little big leg.
Duval.
Love to see that. But with that being said, they upset, I would say, the Denver Broncos and put up 34 on that lauded Broncos defense.
Yeah.
Behind Trevor Lawrence's 23 of 36, 279, three touchdown performance, capped it off with six carries for 20 yards and another touchdown. That is four touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen, complete. That means in the last 2 weeks, he has had 10 total touchdowns.
Good old Easter Island face.
Holy crap.
He's doing all right.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence over his last four games. Number one, Trevor Lawrence does not have an interception in his last four games.
Yay.
Now, he has beaten the Titans, the Colts, and Jets, and Broncos. In those games, he has thrown for 229, 244, 330, 279, and he has 12 passing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. And a pair of rushing touchdowns.
A pair of rushing touchdowns and no interceptions.
Is that good?
And he's been sacked 8 times in 4 games. 5 of those courtesy of the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy thing. Sacked 5 times by the Denver Broncos, still puts up 34, still goes for 279, still throws 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I think, we're reaching a point now where we can kind of, between Trevor Lawrence's at least recent success here and how Baker Mayfield in Tampa has had a little bit of a slide back. So Liam Cohen might be one hell of an offensive mind and a quarterback guru.
Turns out, I mean, Baker Mayfield has said just nothing but wonderful things about Liam Cohen. That was kind of one of those under the radar, like, how's Baker going to do without Liam? Well, he's had an offensive coordinator, seemingly a new one every single year of his career. He's going to go on to another one, it looks like, heading into next season. The Jaguars right now have a 99.8% chance to make the playoffs. Their chance to win the division, I words for a living, I swear, 77.3%, and they have a just under 14% chance of earning the number one overall seed. The Broncos and Patriots are basically splitting that at 36 and 40% respectively. So the Jags are really the only other team that could be a threat here.
Yeah, they're only a game back at the Patriots and Broncos.
How you feeling about old Duval?
I feel good.
Look, we have wondered about this team. Now, coming up, they finished the season with the Colts and Titans.
I mean,
they should win both those games.
You got Laserface and Cam Ward. I mean, yes, and they should win both of those games.
The Jacksonville Jaguars could end the season as division champions and 13-4. And the thing about this team is, there really isn't a weakness, but is there a true strength? They feel like the Colts.
They like to force turnovers. I think that's their biggest strength, is taking the ball away.
That's fair. That's also one of those things that comes and goes in between seasons.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But capitalize on it when you can get
sometimes
it.
The ball falls a different way.
Mm-hmm. They feel very Coltsian before Daniel Jones, old Daniel Jones, got hurt, where their identity was probably more defensive. But offensively, you have Jonathan Taylor, you have Michael Pittman, you have Tyler Warren. Like, you've got weapons on that team. And Daniel Jones just needed to make sure he managed that accordingly and didn't let the game get out of hand and let his defense play. Well, this Jags defense is now kind of leaning on this offense a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of look at their performances. Jeff, here's what they have done over the last six games. 35-6 against the Chargers, 27-24 against the Cardinals, 25-3 against the Titans, 36-19 against the Colts, 48-20 against the Jets, and 34-20 against the Broncos.
Sure sounds to me like they're scoring some points.
It also sounds like now they've played some really crappy teams. They have not allowed more than 20 but once to the Cardinals.
There we go. You got to go out and beat the bad teams, right? That's what good teams do.
Their one loss in that stretch to the Texans on the road, 36-29, where they put up 29 points. We have highlighted this. I have beaten this horse to death. Two teams all season have scored more than 20 against the Houston Texans. The Jags are one of those teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to go with like the whole like here if you do this thing, like the Texans are the best defense in football. If you want to say the Broncos are the second best, fine. So the Jags have hung 29 and 34 against the two best defenses in football. That seems pretty damn good.
Yeah, right.
What more do we need to see from this team to actually believe in them?
Well, see, the problem is that we don't know who in the AFC to believe in. Because of what has happened this season. Patrick Mahomes is out. The Chiefs are eliminated. The Bills haven't quite been the Bills that they have been in the past. I mean, Josh Allen is still Josh Allen. The Baltimore Ravens, they are not a great year.
They have a 7.5% chance of making the playoffs. They have to win the division to make the playoffs.
So, you know, and your Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, yes, they're going to be there, but they're not. The AFC is as wide open, I think, as it's ever been.
To that point, as it stands right now, this is your seeding in the AFC. Broncos, Patriots, Jags, Steelers, Bills, Chargers, Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
the Chargers have the tiebreaker over the Bills due to best win percentage in conference games.
I'm looking at the AFC playoff picture right now for the...
As am I.
That's... Oh, okay, this is the make the playoff picture. The Bills have a 0.1% chance. A 1.1% chance better of making the playoffs over the Chargers.
So what I've got here is the seedings. With the tiebreaker scenarios in the right-handed most column.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so yes, the Chargers own the tiebreaker over Buffalo based on best win percentage in conference games.
So. Your best playoff quarterback is Josh Allen. Your most accomplished playoff quarterback is Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, your most tested playoff quarterback is C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence. Bo went out last year. Looked bad.
Not to quote the Dixie Chicks, but wide open spaces.
Drake May hasn't been there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also apropos of... Well, something. The Broncos hold the tiebreaker over the Patriots, mm-hmm. also based on best win percentage in common games.
Chargers, Justin Herbert got there and looked like, let me quote Anthony Q. Newman here, doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that a 4-interception game against those Jags?
Could be.
It was a 3 or 4-interception game. Now, Herbert was hurt, dinged up, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
again, that Jags D, and they are one of the best in the entire league at taking the ball away.
So there's a reason why the bell I've been ringing, the horse that I've been beating, is if I am an AFC team, the team that I am most terrified of in the playoffs is the Texans. The correlation between top defensive unit and playoff success is a straight line.
By the way, Herbert won interception against the Jaguars.
What game am I thinking of that he had three or four? Was that the week before going into the playoffs?
Let's take a look, see here.
It doesn't matter.
Justin Herbert's game log.
He had a game right around that point where he had a broken rib?
He's got two games on the season with two interceptions.
Okay. He had one game where he was banged up, but he just let a couple ducks go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a little too on the nose, ducks go. Anyways, point being, Jags, for real. Is that what we're landing on?
No, exactly. And you know what? It's these kinds of seasons where you don't know who the hell is going to come out on top that makes it so exciting. On tap, yeah.
Jeff, we got 45 more minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Well, we do, and then I got two more hours.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I'm going to get thirsty.
Sorry. All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot back to college football. Alabama is one of those upsets. They come from down 17 to knock off the Oklahoma Sooners in Norman. Do we believe in Alabama? We'll get to that next here, coming up on the Firm of Harris Meringue, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Roll Tide, Paul! Sure, Oklahoma fans are just thrilled with that outcome. The Fightin' Fine Bombs come through. Alabama knocks off Oklahoma in Norman 34-24. Fighting back from a 17-0 deficit off a series of just furball-esque miscues from the Sooners. Now, credit where credit's due. Alabama capitalized. After falling behind 17-0, where Oklahoma appeared to have it rolling, John Mateer looked like he was going to be dealing. Finished the game 26-41, 307 yards, two touchdowns. But a devastating pick six, 50 yards the other way for Alabama to kind of right some wrongs. Tie that thing up at halftime at 17 apiece, 17 points in the second quarter from Alabama. Makes this thing a ball game, and then Alabama... Every time Oklahoma had a gaffe, there they were. There was Ty Simpson, 18 of 29, 232, two touchdowns. And despite Alabama not being able to run the ball at all, 25 carries for 28 yards, big chunk of that because they had negative 26 rushing yards between Ty Simpson and the team, they were able to punch one in from Daniel Hill and convert some third downs that gave them the opportunity to keep things alive, including the 30-yarder from Hill. Outside of that, they couldn't get a damn thing going on the ground. But Oklahoma had turned their opponents over, I will say, 8 or 9 times over the last 3 games. Zero against Alabama. Mm-hmm. And what was, in the first match between these teams, one of the ugliest college football games I've ever seen before watching A&M Miami. This is a good game, Rusty.
Yeah.
Friday night gave us some juice.
Well, you had that first half. It was clearly one team far better than the other.
Mm-hmm. And yet, then,
not to use that cliched old adage,
ends up tied
a
at the
tale
half.
Of two halves, mm-hmm. basically. But you know what I mean.
It was a tale of a quarter and a half.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, just and then all of a sudden, they just completely, the script flipped.
Well, and the big part of that script flipping was a guy that was not a factor for Alabama this year, and Lutzier Brooks coming out and making dumb catch after dumb catch after dumb catch. Both him and Bernard both had a couple of just, let me go full Gus Johnson, type catches. Brooks with two touchdowns. And Alabama's making plays. Yeah. Look, we all know what Alabama is and isn't this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good. They're now 11-3 on the season. They got steamrolled in the SEC title game by Georgia. But that offense, despite not having a running game, pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And defensively in that second half, one Oklahoma touchdown.
Well, that's what happens too when you've got the quarterback level that you've got there in Ty Simpson at Alabama. You know,
I feel bad for Mateer. Outside interception, played a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
Super unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, also tuck that ball and take it and run for 30 yards rather than throw it downfield to your running back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, you know, look, hindsight is always 20/20, but he's known for his running as well.
He's also known for
all day
the gunslinger,
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Known for the gunslinger risk-taking mentality.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ty Simpson is not. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about what Julian Sane did at Ohio State this year and how good he was. I mean, what the ask of him was significantly less.
Well, and you get those gunslingers, and it's like the facts of life. You take the good, you take the bad. You
the
take
facts
them both.
Of life.
Yes.
Facts.
Facts of life.
Emphasis on the CT.
Yes. Because, well, like, you know, think of it this way, like with Brett Favre, gunslinger,
mm-hmm.
gunslinger mentality. Who is the all-time leader in interceptions in the NFL? Brett Favre.
Ta-da.
Yeah. I think he had himself an okay career.
It worked. I mean, look.
He's a dumbass afterwards.
Sure. But you win some, you lose
probably
some.
Probably during, but.
Probably during as well. Yeah. Yeah. Jen Sturger existed while during
yes,
the career.
That is true.
But again, now, Alabama. You know, it's funny. Listening to national shows, listening to some podcasts, watching the four letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I don't hear coming out of this game? A single word about Kalen DeBoer.
Right?
Not one.
Yeah.
Not a peep.
Yeah. It's not the old, should I stay or should I go now again?
Look, here's the thing about that entire situation. If there still is, and if there ever was internal talk about legitimately wanting to replace Kalen DeBoer,
mm-hmm.
DeBoer should leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He should leave.
Right. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on whose decision it is going to mm-hmm. be, who will be the impetus of a potential move, whether it's him wanting to perhaps go and check out how things are in Ann Arbor,
mm-hmm.
or if Alabama's like, you know, maybe this isn't the guy. And look, we still don't quite know exactly what they've got down there in Tuscaloosa, because they have their flashes, and then they got moments where it's like, what are we doing here? So yeah, it's they're still. And we said this ever since he got hired two off seasons ago. You don't ever want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
Especially the guy being the greatest college football coach of all time.
Of all time.
But
so,
with all of that being said, Alabama goes on the road into a difficult place to play in Oklahoma at Norman and handles business. You go down 17, you win by 10.
Yeah.
Hey, look, a double-digit win in a college football playoff between the 8 and 9 teams.
Yeah.
You where get one team's playing at home.
You start out getting outscored 17 to nothing, and then what happens? You come back and you go 34-7. I mean, that's a pretty good statement, I would
right?
believe. You know?
So if you're Alabama now, you've got to be at least feeling pretty good. If you're you get a win in a college football playoff on the road against another SEC team that was in the college football playoff, I don't know what more you're asking for in year two of Kalen DeBoer. They had the number 2 recruiting class in the country.
Well, you know what they're asking for is they're asking for him to be Nick Saban, which is just kind of ridiculous.
Which nobody can be. Nick Saban can't be Nick Saban in this era.
Right. No, he can't. That's why he left. That's why he hung him up.
So
that's why he's going and hanging out with Pat McAfee and on game day.
Of the four semifinal games, Miami, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, Indiana, Oregon, Texas Tech. Alabama, Indiana is the game I have the least amount of interest in, and I love Indiana probably more than anybody outside of the state of Indiana. Is that a game that you're really excited for?
What, Bama and Indy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I am intrigued. I am very intrigued by this because Indiana's had a fantastic season. They had a fantastic mm-hmm. season last year. And again, like I said, we still don't quite know what Bama is with DeBoer. We're learning some things. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is, I think, in terms of those, Matt, this might be the one that I'm most intrigued by.
Maybe it's just because I believe Indiana is the best team in the country. Now, the injury to Daly is certainly something that's very, 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 very much at the forefront of, like, ugh. But of the lines in these games, Bama, Indiana, 6.5, Ole Miss, Georgia, 6.5, Miami, Ohio State, 9.5, and then Oregon, Texas Tech is basically a pick 'em. I feel like Indiana, Alabama should have the largest spread. And yet they have the 6.5. Like, if I was going to flop a line, I would flop Miami, Ohio State, and Alabama, Indiana. Like, I would give Miami, Indiana the 9.5 points.
Okay.
That's where I would go. Maybe that's where I'm at. Ole Miss, Georgia, we saw this once before, and it was an incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of Lane Kiffin is certainly there for me.
Yeah.
But we also saw Ole Miss hang points all over Tulane. Like, mm-hmm. they didn't miss a beat. And this is, they scored, what, 38 against Georgia in the first meetup? I give Ole Miss a good a chance as anybody in that game.
Yeah, I think you still just got that cloud hanging over them of...
The Lane Kiffin-shaped cloud?
Yes, it's the Lane... Yes, exactly, the mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin-shaped cloud. Of can this still be the same team, the exact same team that it was all season under him? Can they be that same team without him? And look, I mean, 41-10, it looks like he kind of passed that first smell test, mm-hmm. But...
It's probably a good thing that they didn't have a bye.
Right? Well, yeah, good thing they didn't have a bye, and a good thing that they got Tulane,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of, say, Alabama or Oklahoma or Miami or Texas mm-hmm. A&M, you know what I mean?
Get a little something under your belt, much like Oregon.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, I feel like, though, we know more about Oregon and what they are going into this
sure.
than a Lane Kiffin-less Ole Miss.
And as we get further in, closer to the Oregon Tech game, we'll dive into it. We'll, you know, hopefully we'll have Tyson on. We'll ask him about how the coordinators in Stein and LaPoy are going to have to kind of distance themselves a little bit as they get ready to take over their programs at Cal and Kentucky, respectively. But coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers are on a winning streak. They take on the Detroit Pistons tonight, and as Jeff Russ has said in his update, yes, I was listening, the 99-2000 team is going to make an appearance tonight. We'll probably talk about that some more tomorrow. I'll be at the game tonight. But let's dive into what the Blazers have had over the weekend and what they have coming up leading into Christmas. Get to all that and more coming up here on the Firm of Harrison Ring, 105.1 The Fan. But first, Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bruce Hornsby!
The Firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Shout out Bruce Hornsby, living forever. I don't know if it's infamy or fame or something, but it lives.
I remember that day because it was, there was some local athlete and Dusty couldn't remember who.
That was like the first week we were together.
Yes, and Dusty couldn't remember who this athlete was related to. He's like, it's a big name. Then all of a sudden it hit him in the middle of the show.
Yes.
And he goes, Bruce Hornsby!
I think we had just raised the Summer League Championship banner.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, wait, wrong one. God. We should probably play taps for the Blazers-Kings game the other night. Goodness gracious. Sports hard, but it's sports a little too hard in this Blazers-Kings game. Blazers win 98-93, now strung together three in a row. And this was the area of the schedule where I was like, hey, if you're going to get things right, this is probably a spot to go ahead and do it. Because the Kings suck. They are not good. They are now the worst team record-wise in the Western Conference. You can make a pretty clear argument that they're the worst team in the Western Conference. Either them or the Pelicans, but the Blazers also dropped a game to the Pelicans for some unbeknownst reason.
Well, that's like the Thunder being like, hey, our one loss was to the Blazers.
Well, they got 1-1, though.
Well, I know, but, you know, in terms of that 23-1 run.
I wouldn't put them in the same level. Not the same level.
Okay.
But Denny Avdia continues to do things. 24-11-7. I've been doing kind of a straw poll with executives and coaches around the league as they come through town. There is a lot of belief that Denny Avdia should and is playing like an all-star. The media is not reflecting that so far.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned this before. If he does this, if he does not make the all-star team, he will be the first player in NBA history to go 25-5-5 and not make the all-star team without missing basically half or more of the first half of the a season's games.
Now,
the only guys who've done this are guys like Jordan when he came back, Luka when he was injured, Kyrie when he was injured and got traded to the mat. Like, those are the only instances where this has happened.
I'm trying to figure out how to put some of this delicately. At least the first half is easy. It's the second half that I need to, you know,
soften
lightly,
up a little.
Perhaps, yes. How much of it is due to him being in Portland?
Part of it, for sure.
And then how much of it is due to him being a foreign-born player, not like Eastern Bloc?
That's certainly a part of it. That's certainly a part of it. Talking to players and coaches off the record, they're in on him. Mm-hmm. It's not a like, oh, this is a fun story. It's like, no, this he's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a dude. Like, that's the most common sentiment that I've gotten is, you know, we know he's going to drive the ball 20 plus times a night.
Yeah.
We know he's a problem.
Now, I forget, too, in terms of the All-Star voting breakdown, mm-hmm. how much, I don't mean to catch you off guard here, but in terms of fan voting versus, I don't remember if it's media or players,
so,
coaches.
I can't remember the percentage. I think it's 50-25-25 for starters.
Okay.
And then the coaches do the reserves, but the reserves is split up in the whole weirdness of USA versus the world, international, all that kind of crap. So I need to go dive into the press release on that and figure out exactly if there's any changes into that, because they just change it so frequently. It's one of those things where I'm like, come January is when I'll start taking a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I say all this to say that Denny Avdia has been an absolute monster this year. Of course, my tab crashed. Stupid thing. Let me go ahead and pull this up and filibuster while I go do this. God, why would you kick me out?
Pay no attention to a stalling for time.
All right.
Perfect.
Thankfully, I could pull it up in the history. Do you know where Denny Avdia currently ranks in the NBA in scoring? Like in top 25, top 30, top 50? Like, where do you think
he sits? What was he averaging right now? 26 something? 27?
He is at, let me pull up all the pop-ups. He is just under 26, 25.8 points per game.
Okay, so just trying to think through this here out loud. You're going to have a couple of guys on there that are over 30, I'm guessing, in terms of points per game.
There's four guys over 30.
See?
Scoring very well. Luka leads the league at 34.1, SGA at 32.5, Maxi at 31.7, and Donovan Mitchell at 30.7.
Okay, so you got four at 30 plus. Let's go with like, we'll go like 15th-ish.
Ding, 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 ding.
God, I am on a heater today.
You are. Denny Avdia currently 15th in the NBA in scoring. And so if I go ahead and throw a filter on this real quick, let's go points per game greater than or equal to, this is the hard part because it won't refresh my stupid filters. 25 players who average greater than or equal to 5 rebounds and greater than or equal to 5 assists. Now, these aren't the end-all be-all. They're just nice little boxes and round numbers that we like to put them in. These are the players in the NBA currently averaging 25-5-5. Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Jaylen Brown, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Cade Cunningham, James Harden, Austin Reeves, and Denny Avdia.
Okay, that's pretty good company. I'd say one of those other ones is not like the others, but and maybe it's just
I know it's Austin Reeves.
I know,
but maybe he has been hooping.
Yeah, but good company.
Avdia's
good company.
Avdia's shooting splits 47-37-82. He is averaging 26 points, Where does it go? There we go. 7 rebounds and 6.4 assists.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
He is absolutely hooping. Now, also on that same sentiment, Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon Sharpe has found, seemingly, his jump shot.
Okay, sweet.
Let me go ahead and pull this up real quick. I got a head on my tabs up, and it's just going to do the stupid thing. Advanced filters, all teams, Portland Trailblazers. And I want to go season segments. I want to go over the last 10 games. Shaedon Sharpe over the last 10 games is scoring 21.1 points per game, four rebounds, three assists. He is shooting 49% from the field.
That's good.
47% from three.
That's better.
72% from the free throw line.
Well, okay, but, you know, look, we can't. It's baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
But his volume has come down from the three-point line. He's under 4.7. I would argue 5 to 6 is probably where he should be.
So he's making wiser choices?
He is getting to the rim.
Yeah.
That is the thing you want to see. The rim should be the default setting for Shaedon Sharpe. Let me pull up his hex map, shot zones right now. Shaedon Sharpe, actually, I can just do this because this chart sucks. and the NBA one does a weird thing. That's what I get for all my tabs crashing on me. I got booted out of everything earlier.
What do you got, like 47 tabs open
two,
over there?
2, 4, 6, 8, 9. I have 9
is that
over
all?
Yeah. But, I mean, they all crashed earlier in the show, and I forgot I didn't open these ones back up.
Gotcha.
All right. Shooting accuracy. Shaedon Sharpe at the rim right now is shooting 67%. That puts him in the 67th percentile among all combo guards in the NBA. He is up to 33% from three-point line.
Okay.
That is up drastically because I think he dropped down to, like, 22% for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, it was not great there for a while, Bob.
He's shooting 42% from mid-range, which puts him in the 62nd percentile. Last year, Shaedon was 71% at the rim. That was a 92nd percentile. His effective field goal percentage is almost exactly what it was last year. 51.9 last year, 51.8 this year. And that's with this recent shooting uptick.
Yes.
So, Jeremy Grant probably out again tonight. He is dealing with an Achilles tightness.
Soreness.
Tightness. Yeah. Which, the Cavs and Achilles not looking great, not just for the Portland Trailblazers, but around the NBA.
Yeah, well, especially at his age and Drew Holiday's age, who is still out, by the way, with a calf strain. And what do calf strains often lead to?
Ding, 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 ding.
There we go.
Don't want to see those. But the Portland Trailblazers take on the Detroit Pistons tonight. The 99-2000 team is in the house. I heard a little interview with Mike Dunleavy where he was asked about the Western Conference Finals Game 7 against the Lakers, blowing a 15-point lead and, you know, Rasheed Wallace missing four shots, Steve Smith missing four shots, Bonzi missing a couple bunnies. But you know what the thing he highlighted as the issue?
Too soon.
Of those 13 shots, he said 11 of them weren't just good, they were great. The other two were just good.
Yeah.
He goes, the thing that was probably the biggest issue was Sabonis picking up his fifth and then his sixth foul. He goes, I put Arvidas back in with, I think, 6 minutes to go, and he picked up his fifth foul. And I didn't say it then. I hold on to it, and I don't want to say it now, but I'm going to say this right now.
Mm-hmm.
That fifth foul was a phantom foul that no one ever calls.
Yeah.
I love you, Mike Dunleavy. I love you.
But going back, looking at the – dude, this team was stacked.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord. Just even going alphabetically here, you got your Greg Anthony and your Stacey Augmon, your running Rebels teammates. Brian Grant. Okay, Gary Grant. You got Tone in there. Joe Klein. Jermaine O'Neal. Scottie Pippen. Arvidas Sabonis. Detlef Schrempf. Steve Smith. Damon Stoudemire. Rasheed Wallace. Bonzi Wells. Dude, that was a roster.
Mm-hmm. And then Dunleavy brought up, if you look at the plus-minus against the Lakers that season, because I think they played them, was 11 times, the plus-minus with Arvidas on the floor, they mopped the floor with the Lakers.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I bet.
Dunleavy's not bothered by it at all, though.
And the thing is, of course not. And the thing is, had that collapse not happened, they were gonna skate through the finals.
Oh, the Western Conference Finals was the... That was who's
the de facto
win the
finals.
Yeah, yes. That's what it was. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up today's show and put a nice little bow on everything that we've covered coming out of the sports weekend that was here on 105.1, The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, as we wrap up today's show on the firm of Harrison Marang, appreciate you all for listening, whether you're listening on 105.1 on 1080 AM or on the YouTubes or whatever streaming platform or replay platform that you partake in. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. And I'm going to go full Jack Nicholson. Few Good Men. I could not think of Few Good Men there.
Yep.
You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yep.
Suck it, Notre Dame. You need us more than we need you. If you've been listening to the Jeff Russ update, the
BYU
USC,
not quite filling that hole in the
schedule
like USC would.
Exactly. USC and Notre Dame will not play. They have not renewed their rivalry. Look, I want to continue the rivalry. It's one of the best and longest running rivalries in college football. But USC was like, look, we want it at the beginning of the season. We don't want it at the end of the season when we're in the thick of Big Ten play and when you don't play conference ball.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, dog. You don't get to have something nice and shiny at the end of your schedule to make things look better for you because your schedule sucks most of the time.
Yeah, we're not going to do this the opposite way of the SEC and put in Citadel Little Sisters of the Poor. You know,
and Notre Dame was like, well, no, we can't have that. We like to have Eastern Illinois there because we like to have all of our cupcakes at the beginning of the season. And then our one tough game we have at the end of the year. Go look at Notre Dame's schedule next year. You can sit here and be mad at me all you want.
That sounds like a challenge.
You can sit here and be mad at me all you want. the whole of USC, Notre Dame, and my USC bias. Notre Dame needs this more than USC does.
Yes.
By leaps and bounds. And the whole idea of like, USC isn't playing along. No. USC was perfectly happy keeping this going, just moving it to the earlier part of the schedule. Which, yeah, awesome. Yeah. I would love to have USC Notre Dame in the first 5 weeks of the season. Right? Who doesn't want a kick-ass game in the beginning of the season? I would. It was like, well, tradition. I'm like, yeah, man, go play a real schedule, Notre Dame. I don't know about you guys. Me, personally, I'm tired of Notre Dame. I was already tired of them. But then we're not going to go to a bowl game. No, we're going to blame USC for this. No, man. I've had enough of this school.
Let's see here. So 2026, mm-hmm. Week one versus Wisconsin in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They then host Rice.
Mm-hmm.
They
host, you can't lose the food.
They host Michigan State
mm-hmm.
at Purdue,
uh-huh.
At the Fighting Bill Belichick's and Bobby Petrino's.
Uh-huh.
They play Navy in Foxborough.
Uh-huh.
Host Miami.
There you go. A game.
Host Boston College.
Uh-huh.
Host SMU.
Uh-huh.
Host Stanford.
Uh-huh.
At Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
At BYU.
Uh-huh. And then you know what? BYU, you're solid. Two games on their schedule that are worth a damn.
Yeah, Miami and BYU.
Two games.
Yeah, pretty much.
Guess who you need, buddy? Yeah. Our schedule is going to be tough every year for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, we may get lucky. We may get Oregon scheduled this year, Ohio State scheduled
this
year.
The thing is, does Notre Dame need USC? Because...
Well, what did we just see?
But, yes!
I'm just saying, what did we just see?
However, look, you pencil in Notre Dame with a loss or two every year, and they're going to be right there, buddy boy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They lose to Miami. They play BYU tight.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Guess what? They're in. Because they're Notre Dame.
Well, we saw that this year, though.
And it's because of the color of the helmet and the name on the front of the uniform.
I'm not going to do it. Not going to give it to you. Suck it, Notre Dame.
Just saying. It'll happen.
I'm sick and tired of them.
Whether you like it or not, it'll happen.
Nobody likes them now.
When did anybody?
Well, I mean, they're a national brand. They are.
Well,
look,
yes, they are.
I hate the school, but they're a national brand. They are probably, arguably, the national brand. I can't remember who we had on when we were at Army Navy that we were talking about the idea of Notre Dame being saved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I believe it was the play-by-play guys for Army Navy. They brought up that Notre Dame, the reason that their university lived was because they moved the first ROTC on campus was at Notre Dame in World War II.
Mm, well,
really wish they hadn't done that. Really wish they hadn't done that. Let them go down.
Oh, boy.
Let them go down.
Let them go down.
Just.
F them Catholics.
I got nothing wrong with the Catholics. It's just those golden domer just douches.
It's just those Catholics.
Yeah, those ones over there. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. All right, the Portland Trail Blazers do take on the Detroit Pistons tonight. The Blazers Pistons was a hell of a game last game. Hopefully it's another one of those. The Blazers, if they can steal one of these games, they've got, Detroit and Orlando back-to-back, I think is what it is. People ask me, you know, who are they playing tonight? Man, I do my prep like night before.
Let's see here. Detroit tonight. Yes, Orlando tomorrow night.
I have all the games in my phone. I'm always like, okay, who do they have coming up? I never look past like two games because it all just starts. I've done like more than 1,000 of these now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh. Oh, that's right. This is all just kind of blended together.
I've not really looked at the injury report for the Pistons yet, but are we going to get an appearance from one of my favorite nicknames in all of sports? It looks that way. Beef Stew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And beef stew, he's always looking for beef, and he'll stew it up. So that's what we got tonight on the docket. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not war plans. Jeff Russ, thank you today. Appreciate you, big fella.
Absolutely.
No Harris today. No Harris tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow again with Rusty to wrap up your Christmas week coverage. We will have a ton of leftovers from the NFL weekend because we colleged so hard. I'll probably work quite a bit of basketball. NXT did a doubleheader for the Portland Trailblazers heading into the break. But other than that, thank you all for being here. We appreciate you. Enjoy. Stay safe on this nice, comfy, cozy Christmas week. And we will catch you tomorrow. Happy hour. Dusty Hera up next here on 105.1 The Fan. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.